Good afternoon and welcome to Quality of Life, the radio show sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center in Tucson, Arizona. And this is Ronald Zack. I'm one of the co-hosts. Dr. Jack McGettigan is the other co-host, and he's also here. Hello, Jack.
Good afternoon, Ron.
Good afternoon. And we're also here with Veronica Sternitsky, an attorney from the Ronald Zack Law Firm. And we're going to be hearing from our guest, Karen Damchin, in just a little bit. I would like to say a word to the veterans. Thank you to all the veterans. I spent 9 years at the VA Medical Center serving veterans. I regrettably did not serve myself in the military, and I've always regretted that. But I have great admiration for those who did. We have some news, and usually we have some music before the news to introduce the news. Legal and medical news you can't use. This is some uninformative and useless news, so we'd like to provide you for your listening pleasure. First story that I have, let me ask Dr. McGettigan, how big are your lungs?
My lungs?
Yeah. No, time's up. time's expensive on the radio. So this guy, 34-year-old Davey Bauer, he's a Missouri guy. He had a his lungs were pretty much destroyed through smoking cigarettes and vaping. He switched from cigarettes to vaping, thinking that's a better thing. He vaped a cartridge a day. I don't know how much that is. Is that a lot? Cartridge a day. They say it's equivalent to puffing a pack of cigarettes. He got the flu. He got very, very sick. He got Pseudomonas infection, a bacterial infection in his lungs, and his lungs were dissolving. He needed a lung transplant. So he went to Northwestern Medical Center in Chicago. I think it was Northwestern, somewhere in Chicago. And they needed to get his lungs out, and they needed to have a little time after getting his terribly infected dissolving lungs. They had to come out of his body and put him on a machine until they could transplant new lungs into him. But then they have this problem, because once you take the lungs out, there's nothing to hold your heart in place. And so what they did, they came up with this brilliant idea, and they took two double D breast implants, and they packed them in his chest to hold his lungs together, to hold his heart in there, which was pretty clever.
So ergo, the first heart lung transsexual surgery.
it's double D. They made him a jersey, I guess you call it. Is that a sport shirt that says DD Davy? But anyway, very interesting. If you run into that, you know what to do. Anthropologists found a human skull in a Florida thrift store's Halloween section. So these people, this thrift store guy, he buys storage units, and he bought a storage unit years ago, apparently, and excuse me, he would just put stuff from the storage unit out for whatever was appropriate. And an anthropologist made the observation, that's a real human skull, and it was found in the storage unit. They don't really know where it came from. They were trying to do some kind of investigation, but I wonder if it was like the guy who, the reason he didn't keep paying for his storage unit was because he got locked inside and died, and just his skull was left. I don't know. This one, man with a 420 head tattoo, and I don't know why this is so important. There's a picture of him here. I'll hold it up. Everybody in our, we have a studio audience. And he had this 420 tattoo on his head, but what the article is about is something more significant that he did. He's accused of decapitating a female relative and fleeing the scene with her head. And he was arrested for that, and that sounds like it's a bad thing, and probably should have had the first billing on this headline. But very interesting. And they did catch the guy, they arrested the guy, but they did not find the head. So keep your eyes open for that head.
Maybe that's what was in the
store
in Florida. Store.
Yeah, could have been. But this, I think, was since Halloween that he took it. So the storage thing was
look before. For it next Halloween.
Yeah.
Aunt Ichabodda.
There's an kind of an interesting story here that's not like our typical stories because it's real but kind of interesting from a legal point of view. So this is about patents, really. So there's this guy. Let's see, is his name here? His name is David Howard, and so he had met with people from Hormel chili, Hormel canned meat, you know, those people. And he had given them some brilliant idea about meat processing, something that they could, some like a concept of preheating with an infrared oven, and how the company could develop this process to do that. And the company did develop the process, and of course they didn't give him any credit. They patented the process. He sued and he won. They appealed and they won. And the Federal Court of Appeals said, oh, his contribution was insignificant. It was like his idea. And they did they applied for cert to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't want to hear it. Veronica, you had that there's very interesting story. I love toilet stories. You want to tell that one? Then I have a related follow up.
The toilet story, absolutely. So apparently in 2019 there was a $6 million gold toilet that was stolen from Winston Churchill's ancestral home. And they just recently arrested four men who are being charged for the theft of this 18-karat golden toilet.
Has the toilet been recovered?
The toilet has not been recovered as of yet, but they found the individuals who stole the toilet. So really, that's the important part.
That is. I love the pictures that accompanied this, and this is from one of my favorite news sources, the Daily Mail, and they have like before and after pictures. So here I'll hold up a picture of this beautiful gold toilet. Everybody should have one. And then the after picture, which is a hole in the floor, which they published that, and that's just a very interesting story. And then, so speaking of toilets, I just needed a segue. Sometimes you don't have one when you need one. And there's this this story about all of the people pooping in lines for rides at Disneyland. At Disneyland and Disney World, people take dumps in the line. Or relieve themselves. And some people vomit too. And they don't leave the line. But there's a code. They have a code for that. I think it's code H is what I read. Code V is for vomiting. And this is how Disney cast members talk to each other. And then there's a code H for pooping. But it has something to do with horse. Oh, it's a human code H. Because I guess there's a equine code H, because they do have horses there, and you do need to scoop that up. But it's very interesting. And there's these two guys, and I am actually working on getting these guys. They're former Disneyland custodial workers and authors, And so we're getting in contact with them, Lynn Barron and Ken Pellman, to get a hold of their book. They have a couple of books about their experiences as guys who clean up at Disneyland. But this is like a big deal. There's all these anecdotes here. According to a former Haunted Mansion cast member, the attraction rarely shut down due to fecal matter, but we absolutely did shut down a handful of times for human ash bone matter being scattered on the ride. So that's cool. I'm going to be scattered on the ride, but I don't want to be cremated, so it's going to be really messy. That's, that was our old collar abortion music there.
low rent collar abortion.
Low rent. And then there was another story about a massive adult-sized turd on the walkway. This was somewhere in Disney World, and the person who reported it said, "I have many questions. It wasn't even a full turd; it was a half turd, and so we don't know where the other half is, and you don't want to find it like on your shoe." We have a couple. You have a couple more stories, Veronica?
I have one more.
One more.
So, an update to a previous story. We spoke several weeks ago about a funeral home in Colorado where 190 decaying bodies were found. As an update, the two owners of that funeral home, John and Carrie Halford, have been arrested. And they have been, bond was set at $2 million, and they have been charged with multiple counts, including abuse of a corpse.
Oh.
So they were found because the owners had disappeared for a while. They have been found and incarcerated.
Have they retained counsel yet?
I don't know. Maybe we should call.
We should.
We call that a lead.
That's a lead. We're in a moment, we're going to be talking with Karen Damshin from Damshin Financial. Damshin Financial Planning. You can join the conversation. We're going to be talking about Medicare primarily. Medicare supplements, Part D, Advantage plans, all those things. And this is a good time to talk about them. You can call with questions to 520-790-2040. And we'll be right back.
What is a clinical research study? It's a study that helps answer important questions such as, is it safe? Does it work? Are there side effects? How does it compare to other medicines? All medicines must be tested in clinical research studies before approval. Without people taking part in studies, we would not have new medicines. These studies involve clinic visits and are compensated. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333. That's 520-731-2333 or qlmc.com.
Do you need a will? Do you need a trust? What's the difference and what's the answer? Everyone needs a will. Not everyone needs a trust. Even if you have a trust, you need a will. Would you like a face-to-face meeting with an experienced local attorney who will give you direct and honest answers about what's best for you and your situation, respecting your wishes and accomplishing your goals? This is what you get when you schedule a consultation with an attorney at Ronald Zach Law. You'll walk away with valuable and useful information, even if you choose not to do an estate plan with Ronald Zach Law. Contact Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738 or on the web at ronaldzachlaw.com. That's RONALDZACKLAW.com. Quality, welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Clinic and hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan, the CEO of and founder of Quality of Life, and co-host Ronald Zach. And I'm an attorney. Many people know me for the law firm, Ronald Zach Law, and we do wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, conservatorship, anything in probate court. We do a lot of litigation in probate court, a lot of advocacy for vulnerable adults. But I also am a family nurse practitioner, and I practice primary care at the Quality of Life Medical and Research Clinic. And you can join the show if you call 520-790-2040. And you can talk to me. You could talk to Dr. McGettigan, Veronica Sternitsky, the other attorney. But most importantly, Karen Damshin is here. Karen Damshin is a financial advisor, and she believe deals in all sorts of financial products. And welcome, Karen.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's really good to be here. I want to mention for people interested in her website. Her website is www.damshinfp, like financial planner, .com. And Damshin is spelled D-A-M-S-C-H-E-N. So D-A-M like Mary, S-C-H-E-N like Nancy. So Karen, one of the things that you do deal with is Medicare and Medicare supplement plans, Medicare Advantage plans, and you are an expert on just about anything Medicare. And I thought this would be a good time because it is open enrollment, isn't it?
It is. This is our Medicare annual enrollment, which happens October 15th to December 7th every year.
Okay. And so what's significant about the annual enrollment period? What can happen?
Well, this is the one time of year that a Medicare beneficiary could make a change to a Medicare Advantage or a prescription drug plan. So if you have a Medicare Advantage plan and your doctor isn't going to take it next year, or you get a flyer in the mail for something that looks spectacular, this is the time of year when you can make a change to that Medicare Advantage plan or to a standalone prescription drug plan that may go along with your original Medicare or your Medicare supplement.
So I have some friends who are eligible for Medicare, and they say that they get tons of mail from all kinds of people trying to sell them Advantage plans. At this time of year, your mailbox is filled with solicitations.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I hear that too. And, you know, I think the Medicare program overall, the way it was designed and the original intent of it, was definitely done with a great deal of thought and wanting to care for people as they age. But what it's turned into is this very confusing, very overwhelming sea of marketing that happens this time of year. So we get all this stuff in the mail, you know, free utilities, free groceries, free glasses, free gym memberships. And for a lot of the folks that end up in my office, they're just trying to figure out, how do they make a decision? How do you wade through this sea of information and figure out exactly what the right plan for you is? Because I believe at the end of the day, that there really are no bad choices in Medicare, but your choice is important. And the right plan for you may be a different plan than the right plan for your neighbor or your spouse. Medicare is all individual. So we want to make sure, especially this time of year, that we're paying attention to that and making sure you're ending up on the right plan for you.
Excellent. So I want to mention your website again. It's Damshin, D-A-M-S-C-H-E-N-F-P, damshinfp.com. So not everybody has a Medicare Advantage plan or some kind of a supplement, what are the parts of Medicare that most people will have?
So when you first become eligible for Medicare, and by the way, that's not just when you turn age 65. So if you have been declared officially disabled, meaning the government has recognized you're officially disabled for at least 24 months, you actually become eligible for Medicare regardless of your age. But for a lot of folks, turning 65 is kind of that magical Medicare time where they become eligible for Medicare. Now, what you're becoming eligible for is what we call original Medicare. So original Medicare is made up of two parts. Medicare Part A was designed to help cover you in the event that you're admitted to a hospital. Of course, now we think about admissions being hospital, skilled nursing, rehabilitation centers, those places where you're actually checked in and admitted as a patient. That's what Medicare Part A was designed to help cover. Medicare Part B, like boy, is going to cover everything else. So your doctor's appointments, your lab work, your durable medical equipment, things like oxygen or wheelchairs or your CPAP machine, those types of things were all designed to be covered under Medicare Part B. So we have those two pieces of original Medicare. So you're either admitted to a facility or you're not.
And those two pieces, I understand, will not cover everything.
They definitely don't. And there are costs associated with them. So most people don't pay a premium, meaning you pay every month for the privilege of having Medicare Part A. But everybody pays a premium for Medicare Part B. And how much you pay is partially dependent on your income. Now, if you get admitted to a hospital, there are some deductibles and some co-insurances that can go along with that if all you have is Medicare Part A. And outside of a hospital admission, if you're using your Medicare Part B, there are definitely co-insurances because original Medicare will only pay 80% of Medicare-allowed charges. So Medicare-allowed charges are not necessarily what the doctor is going to be charging you either. So along with original Medicare, we can have some other costs come into play above and beyond that 20% coinsurance that you take on. And 20%, Ron, is no big deal if the bill's $100, right? The bill is $100. That's the Medicare allowed amount. Medicare is going to pay 80. You pay 20. But if you need chemo treatments that are $100,000 a piece, now if Medicare is only paying 80% and you're on the hook for 20%, this is where I'm really careful in the financial planning world, because we have to find a way to mitigate that financial liability that exists inside of original Medicare.
And how do you mitigate that?
So the way the program is designed, there are two ways we can mitigate that. Avenue one would be Medicare supplement plans. They're also called Medigap plans, and lots of people have these. These are your plan Fs or your plan Gs if you're talking to your neighbors at the pickleball court. So with a Medicare supplement, they work in conjunction with original Medicare. So you retain the ability given to you by original Medicare to see any doctor in the country that takes Medicare. So if you have a Medicare supplement, which by the way, you're going to pay every month for the privilege of having a Medicare supplement. But now if you go see a doctor, Medicare is going to pay their portion, and we look for the Medicare supplement to pick up some or all of the remainder. So that's avenue one. Avenue two would be the Medicare Advantage plans that we were talking about a few minutes ago. These are those plans that you're getting tons of mail for this time of year. So the Medicare Advantage plans, you still have Medicare, you don't lose it. and you still have to pay your Medicare Part B premium. Everybody pays for Medicare Part B no matter what. And as I said, how much you pay is partially dependent on your income. But with a Medicare Advantage plan, Original Medicare is no longer involved in paying your bills. So basically, you're turning the management of your health care over to a private insurer. And of course, in Arizona, we have tons of competition in this world. We have lots and lots of options. So with the Medicare Advantage plans, no matter which Medicare Advantage plan you choose, they are all managed care plans of some sort. So we have things like HMOs, those health maintenance organizations that you probably had even when you were still working, right? An HMO plan, you've got to stay in network, or typically they won't cover the doctor or the bills. We have PPO plans, provider organizations. They also have networks of doctors and providers, but you can maybe go out of network, but you pay more for it. We have some things in the Medicare world called private fee-for-service plans here in Arizona. In other parts of the country, there are cost plans, PACE plans, Medicare savings accounts. So lots of different options in that Medicare Advantage world. But at the end of the day, they are all managed care plans. So the way we're going to choose those is based on the providers you want to be able to see and the medications that you take. We need to make sure those drugs are covered.
And we're going to pick up right there when we come back from our break.
Now, don't be shocked, but sometimes family members don't agree how things should go after a death. This is especially true when money or valuable property is involved. If you find yourself in the unfortunate situation where a sibling or even a stepchild seems to be acting contrary to the wishes of the person who died, you may need an experienced local probate attorney to advocate for your rights. Find out. Call Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738 or contact Ronald Zach Law at ronaldzachlaw.com.
Quality of Life Medical Research is studying an investigational medicine to test the treatment of type 2 diabetes and support weight management. All participants will have access to doctors who specialize in diabetes management, health checks, and diabetes education. To take part, you must be 18 or older, have type 2 diabetes, and not be taking any medication for it. You must be able to fast occasionally. The study involves one pill a day, is 9 months long, with monthly doctor visits, and is compensated. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333. That's 520-731-2333. Clinical research helps answer important questions about new medications, devices, and vaccines. To learn more about upcoming studies, call 520-721-2333.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center, co-hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan and Ronald Zach, and third co-host, Veronica Sternitsky. We're here talking with Karen Damshin. You can get her information also, and you can get all, find out, you know, all these articles and things we talk about, the news you can't use. It's all on the Ronald Zach Law Facebook page. So a lot of information there, a wealth of information there, actually, and you can contact us through there. But all of Karen's information will be up there. If you do have a question about Medicare, you can call the show, 520-790-2040, and you can talk with Karen. And so, Karen, you were explaining why people need something more than just the original Medicare plans. One of the things you talked about was prescription drug coverage. So if you have just A and B, how much prescription drug coverage do you have?
You have zero prescription drug coverage if all you have is Medicare A and B. So original Medicare does not cover drugs, nor do Medicare supplements or Medigap plans. As a matter of fact, some of the Medicare Advantage plans don't cover drugs either. So you want to be careful in making your choice in the plans you choose. Because if you go without drug coverage that is not at least as good as what Medicare requires you to have. So let's say you decide, I don't take any medications, I don't need a drug plan. And then 5 years go by and you need to get a drug plan because your health has changed, you will pay something called a late enrollment penalty. So for every month you go without drug coverage, you will pay this penalty, which is 1% per month you go without. So if you go for 5 years without this drug coverage and you go to get a drug plan, you will pay 60% more than your neighbor for the exact same drug plan, and you will pay that penalty in perpetuity the way the laws are written today.
That's rude.
It is.
There's a lot of work going on in Washington, Jack, to try and get rid of this late enrollment penalty, because why should somebody pay for something they don't need, right? But for right now, that's the way the law stands.
Well, I'm one of those folks that hit 65, signed up for Medicare, but I was still working.
Yeah.
And so I still had health insurance.
Right.
And I still do. And I'm way past 65 now. So what should I do? And folks out there like me.
That's funny. I just got a phone call on Friday of last week from a guy asking that exact same question. So you might get some information, or your neighbors tell you, you know, if you don't sign up for Medicare as soon as you turn 65, you're going to pay penalties. So when you enroll in Medicare really depends on your specific situation. So for you, Jack, if you're still working and you still have your employer coverage and you like that coverage, and that coverage meets Medicare's guidelines, then chances are you can keep that coverage and you don't have to enroll in Medicare when you turn 65. I've got clients working into their 80s now, right? So you don't have to start paying for Medicare right at 65 if you have other creditable coverage, which is the word Medicare uses. Now, depending on the size of your employer and the way your plan is structured, you definitely want to make sure you understand who pays first. So if you have a small employer, less than 20 employees, Medicare actually is going to be the primary payer. So that's an instance where you may need to enroll in Medicare. It doesn't mean you can't keep your employer plan, but you might need to enroll in Medicare. If you have a larger employer and Medicare is going to become the secondary payer, you may not need to enroll in Medicare even though you're turning 65.
Well, so if I hold out for how many years, will I have to pay 100% for drugs? Based on what you said earlier, that's what I'm saying. That's rude.
Oh, no. No. So as long as your employer drug coverage is at least as good as original Medicare's, meaning it meets that creditable guideline, and I know you may not know it, but you actually receive a letter every year telling you whether your health insurance plan is creditable. It is built into those enrollment documents that you receive every year as part of your employer health plan and never read. So that it's called a notice of creditable coverage, and employers have to provide those to their employees.
How did you know I didn't read that?
And aren't there also circumstances where somebody may work, continue working for a large company, may have insurance through their company, but it may also benefit them to enroll in Part B, and then it would work like a supplement?
Sure. Maybe. Sure. So I don't know about most of our listeners, but when I go to the doctor and I see a new doctor and I fill out that new doctor paperwork, they ask for your health insurance information and then they ask for secondary health insurance. But a lot of people for many, many years haven't had secondary coverage. The days way back in the day where you could have two health insurance plans that really worked well together, those days have been gone for a long time. But you could absolutely choose to have your employer plan and have both Medicare A and B. And if your employer plan, every once in a blue moon we see it, doesn't have creditable drug coverage, that's a point in time where you'd also maybe want to reach out and grab a Medicare Part D plan. Part D covers the drugs. You know, Medicare government in general loves their code words. So we've got lots of different terms that are used that can be a little confusing as well.
What made you want to get into this world?
You know, it's interesting. So I've been in the financial services industry for about 10 years. And I actually started in Medicare. I really think it's an important place for people to pay attention to. Nothing is going to derail your retirement faster than being bankrupt because of medical bills. And you know, Jack, I mean, $1 million worth of medical bills is not an uncommon situation these days. So I started in Medicare and just really fell in love with it. And the kind of financial interest grew from there. And I've been helping people pull together those that comprehensive view of your financial picture for about 10 years.
And do you have a secondary thing that you love? Obviously, financial planning, what would be, I mean, tell me a little bit more about that, if that's okay.
Oh, sure, of course. So I am a holistic financial planner. I know lots of financial planners say that. But more importantly, I'm an independent financial planner. So my firm is a boutique firm. I do not have 5,000 financial clients that I'm working with every day. The families that I tend to work with are people I want to work with and people who want to work with me. They've saved their assets for retirement, and typically some transition is coming, right? They're maybe getting ready to retire, or they have the loss of a parent and they've inherited an estate. There are a lot of reasons that can bring them into my office. And what we want to do is really look at all those pieces of a financial plan to make sure that we're paying attention to everything that can affect their future now until the day they die. I'm going to run retirement scenarios out to at least age 100, because we're certainly, with folks like Quality of Life out there helping us do some research, we're definitely living into the hundreds for sure.
And even if you don't think you need any of Karen's services, it's worth a trip to her office because she has the best snacks.
Yeah.
She has drinks. There's tons of food in there. I know. And just saying.
How do you know this?
So it's one of those, the food alone is worth the trip.
In a former life, I owned a catering company, so I do believe in feeding people.
Now, where's your location? Food? I'm getting hungry as we're speaking.
She is located at 4400 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 308, conveniently next to Ronald Zach Law.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. I love having Ron as my neighbor.
Thank you. And you don't run out of food, even with me as your neighbor.
Now, how often is Ron over there pilfering through? He never brings anything to the office, I can tell you that.
There's a potluck coming up. Mm-hmm. I might come by Karen's.
Oh, delicious.
So,
We have 30 seconds. Can I throw something in there?
Please.
I think that, I don't know if everybody caught the football score. But you're a U of A fan, is that right?
I'm a Tucsonan born and raised, so definitely a Wildcat.
So we just beat Colorado a bit ago, 34-31, which makes us now more than bowl eligible with, I think, two more games left. And if you didn't catch the basketball score, we went to number 2 Duke and beat them yesterday evening, 78-73.
Go Cats.
Bear down.
Whatever.
Oh, it sounds like we need to get Ron to some games.
I think so.
The only sport I like to watch is girls volleyball.
Oh.
volleyball in Huntington Beach, California. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back. We're going to talk. I want to talk about drug coverage a little more because of the to understand the donut hole.
Oh, it's not delicious.
Have you been told that you need a trust to avoid probate? Not true. Have you been told that a trust will always avoid probate? That's not true either. If avoiding probate is your goal, I can help you with an estate plan that avoids probate after your death without the extra work and expense of a trust. If you need a trust for other reasons, I can help with that too. Learn the truth about trusts.
You can reach Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738. That's 999-3738 or ronaldzachlaw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio.
Quality of Life Radio show. I hesitate because I was so used to saying Law Review Radio, right. And I always want to say that. But it's no longer Law Review Radio. And we're co-hosted by Ronald Zach and by Dr. Jack McGettigan. And we're here with Veronica Sternitsky. And we're... I promise that's all the sports we're going to talk about.
I know. We might have a caller that wants to call in.
How about them Cubs?
We have to have the obligatory statement on the score, right?
Well, it's the U of A.
Yeah.
We got it. We got to give those Ron. Cats some props.
Is that in Tempe?
Oh.
Fired.
There's some things I really admire about the U of A. Do you know they have one of like two poetry centers in the United States? They have an amazing poetry center that is loaded with books you can't take out, which is kind of weird. But they have an art museum where, well, you can't take art out of there either, but someone did once, the Woman Ochre painting. That's another story, another favorite story of mine. So we're here with Karen Damshin. Her information is on Ronald Zach Law Facebook page, easy to find. And Karen, we were saying about the drug coverage, a prescription drug coverage, I should say, for people on Medicare, and there's all this talk. My context is, I had a patient come in the other day who's a diabetic, and this patient is on Medicare and has been on a medication, Trulicity. It's one of the newer expensive medications, and was doing very, very well. And suddenly wasn't, you know, and I looked at the blood sugars and I said, are you taking your medicine? And he told me, he said, well, no, I won't be able to take it until January because I'm in the donut hole and I can't afford it anymore. So can you explain this
phenomenon?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the donut hole's only going to be here for one more year. So the way Medicare has structured drugs is an incredibly complex structure that I don't know how the average individual is supposed to figure out. But there are four phases of drug coverage. So if you've got a deductible, that's an amount of money you're going to pay out of pocket before the plan starts to pay. Once you've met your deductible, or if you have a plan that doesn't have a deductible, then you're in this initial coverage phase. And while you're in this initial coverage phase, I'm going to use some 2024 numbers since that's where we're headed next year. So in 2024, the government is going to gift you with about $5,000 worth of drug coverage. So the number for 2024 is $5,030. So what that means, Ron, is when you're in that phase, you're going to pay your regular copays, whatever that may be, for the medication that you're taking. And so your copays are dictated by your plan. But the amount that goes towards that 50-30 number is actually the retail price of the medication. So if you're taking a medication, and some of these diabetes medications, right, they cost $1,000 a month. So if your copay is only $125 or $95, right, you know that your insurance company is picking up a huge chunk of the cost of that medication. But in about 5 months, that $1,000 medication has now used up that $5,030 worth of drug coverage, okay? That's what puts you in the donut hole, which the government also calls the coverage gap. Means the same thing. So instead of paying your regular copays when you're in the donut hole, again, maybe your $125 copay, now you're on the hook for 25% of the cost of the medication. So the amount that you have to pay every month for that medication, instead of paying your $125, it just doubled. Now you're paying $250. And for lots of our Medicare beneficiaries who may be on a fixed income, especially in retirement, they just can't afford those copays. So we see them rationing medications. We see them, oh, I'll take it every other day or that kind of thing. And it really can create some significant health problems. Now you stay in that donut hole until your total out-of-pocket costs reach $8,000. So when you're in that donut hole, you're paying that 25% of the cost of the medications until not the retail price reaches $8,000, but until your total costs reach $8,000. So a lot of folks end up in the donut hole, but they never come out of it.
And there are medications. Some of the biologic meds they use for rheumatoid arthritis that are $8,000-$9,000 a month.
Yeah, or oral chemo meds.
Yeah.
Right, that are up in the $15,000 to $20,000 a month. So for those folks, we may know in January or February they're gonna be out of pocket about $8,000. And then the rest of the year, they're going to be in what's called this catastrophic coverage phase, where for 2024, they wouldn't have any additional costs. But that only goes till December. And then we start all over again in January. But the good news is, come January 2025, in theory, Medicare drug costs are going to be capped at $2,000 for Medicare beneficiaries. So that means you, in theory, starting January 1, 2025, you should not spend more than $2,000 a year on your drug costs. The legislation's already been passed. We've got a presidential election between now and then, so we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Does that include your copays, or is that just beyond copay?
No, that should be total Medicare beneficiary costs, so including those copays.
So if you're following this, have you been following which parties are going to try to make that a real reality?
You know, there's a lot of pressure on both parties to keep that a reality. Again, the legislation has passed. In theory, this should go into effect. And this has been many, many years of trying to close that coverage gap. The coverage gap was supposed to be closed in 2018. Where Medicare beneficiaries weren't going to end up in the donut hole. Here we are in 2023, 2024. We've still got a donut hole. So I have all the faith in our leaders in Washington getting this done, but we'll see.
Well, how is it going to be paid for?
How are the drugs going to be paid for? They're going to be paid for by the Medicare program. In theory, we've got the funds sitting there ready to
deploy
to help pay for this. And this is all part of Medicare's attempt to also step in and try and help negotiate some of these drug costs. So right now, your insurance company may be negotiating drug costs, and every insurance company is negotiating different costs for every medication at every pharmacy. So the complexity of this is bananas, right? But in theory, come 2025, the Medicare program is going to be doing more and more negotiations for drug costs. We heard all the hoopla last year about that Alzheimer's medication, right? That they ultimately ended up not covering. But so the Medicare program should be doing some of this negotiation to try and help get these costs down.
We've heard this before.
Yes. I'm not saying this is new news. I'm just saying, as an eternal optimist, I hope it happens.
Well, I do know, too, that Washington has a really big printing press.
Apparently.
Well, it is. When I worked for the VA, I always said it was nice to work for an employer who printed their own money.
Right.
Because they threw it around a lot.
Yeah.
Especially COVID.
And Medicare's working on some of those negotiations now. They elected to start with some of these very expensive medications like blood thinners and diabetes medications, right? So Farxiga and Januvia, which are a couple of diabetes meds, are on that list of the first 10 meds that they're going to negotiate for. And things like Eliquis are on there as well. So we're, I believe lots of people have good intent, but this machine is tough to get moving.
Is it true that no one can remember the name of the dementia medication?
Who are you?
Can I put a plug in for a Quality of Life Medical and Research Center? You mentioned one of the drugs, Januvia, that we've worked with that helped get it to market, along with many others, but thank you for that.
Oh, that, for our listeners, please know that that was not even something I was aware of, so thank you for that.
And we have studies ongoing right now, and we're always willing at Quality of Life to put people on our list who might want to participate in future studies that we're anticipating.
Yes, and we do have one for diabetes and for low back pain right now, sciatic. And we have subjects in both of those that are doing well. So I encourage you to give us a call and see if we might not add you to the list or perhaps get you in a study. Help us get some more new meds that are better than the previous ones, hopefully.
So Karen, if people want to get a hold of you, they can call you at what number?
So the office is 520-399-6344. Or, of course, they can go to the website, damshinfp.com, like damshinfinancialplanning.com. There is some information on the website. There's a little form you can click on and schedule an appointment with me, and my team will reach out to you, and we'll get you on the books.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. We're going to be back next week. Next week, we're going to have a physician, a preventative cardiologist talking about cholesterol, lipids, and that's a fascinating topic you need drugs for. We'll be back. Thank you so much for listening to Quality of Life Radio Show with Dr. Jack McGettigan, Ronald Zach, Veronica Sternitsky, and most importantly, Karen Damshin.